Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. I would ask all those able to please stand. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So in today's gospel reading, calling Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. In the scripture, Simon and James follow without a second thought. They leave everything they had and everything they were behind. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. Fishing was how they lived. Fishing brought in the necessary money to buy food, to repair nets, to fix the boats, and maybe allow them to feed their family and some others in the village. Fishing allowed them to live and to survive. It was probably one of the most important things in their world to them. Moving on, we encounter James and John. They're with their father mending nets. Apparently, there was a lot of work to do, as there were a bunch of hired men doing the same thing along with them. But family was important in those days, just as it is today. Along comes a man that is unfamiliar to them, and this man says to them, "Come, follow me." And they leave their father behind, and they leave the work behind. Not once do they make any excuses or try to bargain for time. James and John just get up and leave their father. What does it take to follow Jesus? This can seem confusing at times. One of the Ten Commandments says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." This places family in a high place of importance, doesn't it? And yet James and John just walk away from their father and what we can assume their father has asked them to do. During Jesus' ministry, he is asked about paying taxes, and he lets us know that it is our responsibility to give the government what is due to them and to follow them. And yet Simon and Andrew just be left behind their means of making money. It seems as if these four men, leaving things behind in order to follow Jesus, contradicts what they should be doing. How are we to interpret this story? How are we to use it to bring ourselves closer in our relationship with Jesus? Well, daily, Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us in many things. Some are big, and some are very small. But in all things, he calls us to follow his way. Some things may be safe and comfortable, and others may be risky and dangerous. Some things may reaffirm our thoughts and our beliefs, and some may challenge those very thoughts and beliefs. Yet in all things, he calls us to follow. Sometimes we make it very hard on ourselves to follow Jesus. We have many reasons that we often use for not following. We believe that these reasons are justified or even backed up by things that we hold to be true, and maybe even by our own religious texts, like the Bible itself. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and mother." So, I'm sorry, I can't take the time to stop and help you today because my family wants me to do something else. Or, You can't expect me to help you or share Christ with you or be nice to anyone since, well, my relative's sick or my relative just passed away. And they come first. I can't stop on the side of the road to help that person that's broken down or that needs a ride because, well, it could be really, really dangerous. I could die. And if I die, how am I going to help anyone? We all have many valid reasons not to answer the call. But how do we reconcile these issues? How do we learn to follow the call of Jesus when everything we are tells us not to follow? How do we help ourselves to act more like the disciples and follow Jesus without a second thought? In the Ten Commandments, there is a hierarchy to the rules. And number one on the list is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means nothing. Nothing comes before God. Not money, not family, not work, not our own shelter or our own well-being. Nothing comes before God. This refers not only to the named gods like Zeus, or Apollo, or Ra, or Seth, but to our possessions and our abstract concepts. There is nothing before God. Jesus teaches about serving two masters. He says that you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Once again, this is establishing that there is nothing above God. When he asked someone to follow him in one of the stories, and they respond that they need time to bury a family member, he tells them, forget about it and just follow. Follow me now. In order to be better at following Jesus, we will have to be willing to put Jesus first in anything and to have nothing above him. Not money, not family, not possessions, not rulers, not politics, not ourselves, not anything. We must be willing to sacrifice everything when we are called to follow. But why should we want to sacrifice everything to follow? We should desire to sacrifice everything because God promises us eternal life in a place where there is no pain and suffering, where peace abounds, where milk and honey flow, and where sorrow is not found. He promises us that we shall never have want or need. He promises us life by his side, wrapped in his comforting love. He promises us more than all of us put together could ever imagine. Think about it. God has so much more than we can ever have or ever want. And he wants to share it with all of us. All he asks is that we just give up what so little we know and hold dear. Last night in the alternative service, Lara had picked a song that just really kind of spoke to me a little bit more towards what he wants us to know here. And the song was called Spirit of God by Meredith Andrews. And the chorus in it is just really amazing. And let me pull it up here real quick for you. The chorus goes like this. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what we seek. And the song itself was talking about our relationship to God, and when he speaks and when he does what only he can do, it changes us and how we see things. But this is a little bit of a trickle-down theory. It also applies to us. When we speak and when we move and when we do what only we can do, we affect others and change what they seek. It's kind of like throwing the pebble into the pond. It may just be a smile. It may be picking up a stranger and giving them a ride. It may be being called to empty out your bank account for ministry. But in everything, daily, God is calling us to do things. And oftentimes we say no. But we have to remember that we are that little pebble. Because when we speak, and when we move, and when we do what only we can do, we affect ourselves and we affect others. And that ripple from that little pebble just fills that whole pond. And that's what we need to be like. And that's what it's like when you don't hesitate and when you don't falter and when you don't question, why do you want me to do this now? I've got so much other things that I've got on my plate. I've got to do that. Can we do this when it's more convenient? No, when you go and you jump feet first like James and John and Simon and Andrew, without question, without fail, just get up and follow. These little changes happen and those ripples just go further and further and further. And soon we find that the kingdom of God gets bigger and bigger and bigger and that more people are affected. As I mentioned during the children's service, just think about it. That smile as you pass someone on the street or the holding of the door for someone walking into a store, it affects their attitude. They could have been in a bad mood that day. And just that one little thing changes their day. So the next person that they come into contact with, now instead of grumbling and complaining, they're more apt to be nice. Maybe it's the cashier in the store. Maybe the cashier makes a mistake. And instead of, oh, wow, you know, you're just the most awful cashier in the world, they're like, hey, man, I understand. You know, no problem. We got it all straightened out. You know, I appreciate you being honest or what have you. It changes outlooks of everyone. But it also changes you too, because when you walk away, you have that good feeling and you want to spread it even further and further. You want to keep throwing those pebbles in. And you know, most of the time, daily, it is those pebbles that were called by Jesus to throw when he says, come follow me. Every once in a while, it might be that big rock that he wants us to throw in. But in any of those, every day he is calling us. He is calling us to do what only we can do. It's not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's not what she can do. It's what only you can do, because you're in that place at that time that Jesus calls you and says, come, follow me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask for your guidance and your encouragement and your strength as we do our best to follow and listen for your each and every call in our daily lives. Lord, sometimes we stumble, but we know that you're there to pick us up and to help correct us and move us along in the right path. Just give us the wisdom to follow you and to listen to your guidance. And when Jesus calls us, encourage us so that we may answer without a doubt. So that we can do what only we can do. Amen.